Hello and welcome to the Majlis, a Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I am Mohammed Tahir, Director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. It's been some time since security situation in northern Afghanistan is deteriorating, and over the past several months, it has just got worse. According to some reports, fighting in roadblocks, kidnapping become common. In most of the Afghan villages bordering Turkmenistan are highly unstable. On the top of that, the infiltration of the Central Asian militants are reportedly higher in northern Afghanistan than any other part of the country. All these violence are taking place in the face of Afghan Vice President General Dostum's frequent military mission to northern Afghanistan to clean up the area, and increasing visits by the world powers to the neighboring Central Asian countries to talk about security in their Afghan border. In today's Majlis, we will discuss latest security situation in northern Afghanistan and what does it mean to Central Asia. To discuss the subject, I have Omar Safi, former governor of northern Afghan province of Kunduz. Mr. Safi, welcome to the Majlis.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for being in the Majlis today. Obaid Ali, a northern Afghanistan researcher with the Kabul-based Afghanistan Analysis Network, is also joining us from Kabul. Obaid, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Also, Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlak Awazi, which is a blog specializing in Central Asia at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is also joining me here in the studio. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being part of the Majlis today. Mr. Safi, let's start with you. You just returned from Afghanistan. How things have changed in North since you resigned from your post as a governor of Kunduz province?
Situation in the northern Afghanistan since the last 2 years is deteriorating day to day. The main reason behind this is some vulnerability, or softness for the enemies, you know. After the clearance operation of Pakistan Army and the Waziristan, most of the Taliban and insurgents, and preferably the Uzbek Mujahideen and Tajik Mujahideen group, they switched side, changed their places from northern Waziristan and they came to the northern Afghanistan. Right. The reason for this, why they choose northern Afghanistan, was that there are some vulnerability, and one was the warlords, illegal armed groups who are divided in three groups. One is the drug mafia, and the other are the land mafia, and the other are these Arbakis, or those who are under the government flag. So these three groups are every day, violating, or undermining the reputation of the Afghan government. And this finally results that people, switch sides, change their mind to support the Taliban and the other insurgent groups because of the taxation and illegal, acts or some other, issues that force the local inhabitants to prefer the government forces to the Taliban. So this is not only the people, but also these illegal armed groups paved the way for Taliban to easily find, access to the logistic, military ammunition, and so on and so. Because if you see the Taliban in northern Afghanistan are 800 kilometers away from their logistic base, which is Quetta or northern Waziristan or these places. And they receive all their ammunition and weapons through the illegal armed groups, easily. When I was the governor in Kunduz, I have had many, many occasions of the illegal armed group that they were selling the ammunition or giving the ammunition for free to the Taliban because the Taliban could help them, transporting their drugs and illegal things to the Central Asia. If you look at the Helmand province, it's also almost same. Helmand province is a place where the drug is being processed or cultivated, but northern Afghanistan is a place where it's a transit route to these drugs, to to the Asian countries and finally to Europe and Russia. So these are the main factors for instability, main factor for giving the facilities to the enemies to succeed.
Right. Mr. Safi, being a former governor of Kunduz, today what percentage of the territory is under the state control in Kunduz province?
In Kunduz, 70% of the territory is currently under the Taliban and insurgents, and only 30% of the territory is under the government control. And if you look at the whole northern Afghanistan, we can say 45 to 55% like this. You know, like 45 will be under government, and the 55 is under the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the nine provinces.
Obaid, it looks like in recent months, Vice President Dostum is spending more time in the battlefields in northern Afghanistan than in his office in Kabul. How serious is the security situation in some of the other northern provinces like Faryab, Jowzjan these days, where Dostum is currently based?
Thank you very much. General Dostum visited a northwest part of the country several times in the past too. He visited in Jowzjan in 2015 two times, and now again in 2016. The reason made him to visit Northwest, particularly Jowzjan and Faryab provinces, is the insecurity. But we are the witness that Dostum's visit to North left not any major impact on the security. I mean, there was not any improvement of the security after the Dostum's visit in Jowzjan in 2015. So I do not think he would have a big impact on the security, or he can improve the security situation in Jowzjan, in Faryab, and in Saripul provinces, because there are many elements, there are many factors on the ground that somehow deteriorated the security. And when Dostum, together with his fighters or with support of NSF, Afghan National Security Forces, visit Jowzjan and Faryab, this is very clear. This is only a visit. It means they go there, they stay there for a week or maybe for 5 or 6 days, and then they return back. Once they return back, then the territory again fell into the Taliban hands. This happened in the past, and I think this will continue for this year as well.
Obaid, let's discuss the reason which brings Dostum back again and again to northern Afghanistan. So how is the security map of those three, four provinces looks like? For example, Mr. Safi told about the Kunduz, like 70% of them beyond the control of the authorities. So how is the situation in Faryab, Jowzjan, in some of the other provinces where you've been to?
One more sentence I wanted to add, that Dostum's visit of Northwest also somehow indicates that he wants to expand his influence in Northwest part of the country, which is Faryab, Saripol, Mazar, and Samangan, and Jowzjan is already there. So it's not only fighting, or it's not only military. He also aimed somehow politically to expand it's in following. For the insecurity, it's very difficult to say the percentage. But one thing is very clear. Since 2012, security in Faryab, in Saripol, and in Jowzjan deteriorated very badly. Like in Faryab province, there are some districts that somehow most parts of the districts are under the Taliban control. For instance, Qaisar district, somehow most part of this district is under the Taliban control. Almar district also somehow mostly controlled by the Taliban. So out of these all like 14 or 16 districts, one can say there are some heavy contested districts, and also some contested districts, and also some of the districts that the government has like wider influence.
Mr. Safi, we have seen in northern Afghanistan lots of fighting, but what happened in Kunduz last year, the spectacle fall of the city to Taliban, was something entirely different. So is there any area, region, province where the militants are more focused than the others? in northern Afghanistan?
See, there are in northern Afghanistan there are three places that is more focused by the insurgents, like Kunduz, Baghlan, and Faryab. They are more focusing because for them this is the strategic areas for the Taliban, because Faryab is famous as the gate to the northern Afghanistan all the time. When northern Afghanistan fallen to the enemy, to Taliban previous time, they came through this gate, and Kunduz was historically a region, a safe haven for the Taliban even in 1997 and 1998. So the Baghlan for them is good because the area is an agriculture area, and it's a junction of the northern Afghanistan. If they have control over this area, they could have control over all northern Afghanistan. So these three places are very important and strategic for the Taliban, and they always try to have more influence and more control over these three areas. And also, publicity-wise, they could put a lot of impression on the government, and a lot of pressure on the government to show how they are powerful. If they, even a small act in these three places could easily publicize and could show to the world and to the public that they are strong enough, and they and their activity could easily publicize rather than Tahar or other places.
That's interesting, Mr. Sapi. You mentioned three provinces. Whatever happens in those provinces, Bruce, it will have direct effect to Central Asia in this or the other way. How the situation, the way the things being described today, looks from Central Asia, if you look at from the other side of the border?
We had reports when I was the governor that the Russian has reinforced the border, all along the Tajikistan that I think at this moment it's a severe threat to the Russian and even to all the Central Asian country, because most of the enemy, the insurgents, are the foreign insurgents in northern Afghanistan. Those who are entrusted to infiltrate, there are reports of ISIS in Nuristan and who are trying to reach to Badakhshan and then through Badakhshan to Central Asia. And there are also a couple of examples and witnesses that the IMU and Harkat-ul-Mujahideen of Tajikistan, they have been quite active under Jundullah's flag in northern Afghanistan. Ishkamish in Burqa, the two districts, there are around reportedly 300 of the Jundullah's armed groups, armed men are existed.
Right.
In some places they are under flag of the Taliban. Some places they are independent. So there is the worries and concern that they could, if they find opportunity, they could easily infiltrate and go to the other side. Where they might have a lot of sympathizers, but if they reach there, they could easily reactivate them.
Right. We will be discussing about that subject in the second half of the show, Mr. Safi. We also heard some news that there is some sort of connection between militants based in northern Afghanistan and the ones on the other side of the border. So in the second half of the show, Bruce, here, how does this situation, this picture looks like from Central Asia today?
The first thing I would point out is Mr. Safi mentioned Baghlan, Faryab, and Kunduz. And if you look at the plans for, and actually electrical power lines that are coming out of Central Asia, they go right into all three of those provinces. The ones from Tajikistan into Kunduz,
right.
The one from Uzbekistan into Baghlan, and then the ones from, the one right now, but there'll be more from Turkmenistan that go into Faryab. So these are three strategic provinces, not only for the Taliban, but for the Central Asian governments that want to export electricity and make a little more money to Afghanistan at the moment. So, the Taliban and the other militant groups have picked strategically three most important provinces to make to master their forces across the north. More generally, of course, the Central Asians would have been worried about this situation as it's developed over the last 2 years, and you can see that they've done a lot to reinforce their borders. They are in contact with the Afghan government, but what the big mystery is, how much contact do the Central Asian governments have with the local commanders that are just on the other side of their borders at the moment? We know Turkmenistan tried to establish some kind of contact with forces and officials in northwestern Afghanistan, and then all of a sudden they seem to have switched strategies and backed away from that in the past. You know, certainly it's something that's of a huge concern for them, but I mean, immediately throws a huge problem into their plans for exporting electricity to Afghanistan, for one thing, and also for this railway that they're planning to build, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, which would go right through the heart of these conflict zones, and therefore, present day, it looks like that project is absolutely impossible.
Mr. Sapi, Bruce mentioned that the possible contact between Central Asian governments and the Afghan side. I'm wondering, having a greater contact with the Afghan forces, will it help in any way? Because you said like 70% of the territory is not anyway controlled by the Afghan forces. The second question would also be, so having contact with which group will help to secure the border?
You see, the neighboring country like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, they have a number of plans to have a joint training and exercise and have a couple of meetings. When I was in Kunduz in 1 month, our border police had three big training and several meetings on the border to have better coordination and have better communication amongst each other. But I believe this is not enough as long as the Afghan security forces are not strong and the illegal armed group are not completely eradicated, is removed from the area. You know, illegal armed groups in the north in Afghanistan, like a machine who can produce the Taliban in the area, because they always undermine the reputation of the Afghan government. They are torturing the local people, and there are different. They are collecting like five type of taxes from the local farmers, who are not, able to afford this. You know, if I could mention an example of a commander called Nadigichi, he was controlling like one district, where he had 2,000, militia, and our police were only 100 people. So police had no control over the district, and he was taking all sort of taxation from the people. And when people came to the police, police could openly say that I cannot have any control over him. And this kind of commander, a criminal commander, was always supported by the senior government authority like General Dostum or Abdullah or so and so. So my concern is that as long as these illegal armed groups are existed, the situation will further deteriorate, because they pave the way to the Taliban and also force the local inhabitants to switch sides, to less trust on the government and more trust on the Taliban. So, they are providing ammunition and support to them, because these ammunition they are providing to Taliban, they are taking from the Afghan government. So apparently it looks like they are supporting the Afghan government, but they are indeed helping the enemies. We witnessed in Faryab that there is still a concern and a fight between the two groups of Jannat and Jundish. And particularly we have the same stories in Samangan, in several other places. There is high tension between the two factions. So I think work will further complicate the situation.
Right. Governor Safi, these type of groups emerge when there is not authority of the government in place. You know, if they are not there, then the Taliban or the other militant groups will come. So how much is the Afghan forces are capable of delivering security to the people on the ground there? What is their capacity?
Honestly, I'm not in the favor of securing a district to the illegal armed groups. These people will not help, you know, will not, you know, work as per the policy of the Afghan government. They have their own law, they have their own procedure. And the other issue is that these people, when they are as a joint party, you know, in the front line with the Afghan army would never trust them. So for an army to have one enemy, it's much easier to have several enemies, because these are the closest enemy, and our closest enemies are more dangerous than the other you know, enemies who have a clear agenda, you know. So I think the illegal armed groups inside the Afghan army and inside the Afghan forces, when they are fighting against the Taliban, are more dangerous for the Afghan army, because, you know, if they are not there, you know, they would have at least one enemy they could fight. But when they are there in the cloth of friends, but indeed the forces have no trust over them, so this would mean they have to look at the back, they have to look at the two sides, and then they have to fight in the front, you know. So it's extremely difficult. I was approached by several, you know, several times by the coast commander, by the police chief, and saying that, hey, in my front line, I have 500 troops, but 200 are illegal armed groups. I don't trust them. If they cut my back, if they give the way to the Taliban, if they give information, if they leak the information, if they do something, how I will manage? So most of the soldiers even know, you know, this can easily affect the morale of the soldiers, because they know they have some kind of viruses inside the system. Mm-hmm. So I think this is more dangerous than. But why? I'm sure that the senior government authority knows this, that this is danger, but they use this for their own personal things. Because when I was the governor, you know, my first fight was that, you know, I presented an assessment report to the National Security Council, and I said the threat, you know, factors. I categorize them. I told that the first category is the illegal armed group, and then I was immediately objected. The first is the Taliban, because they are the Mujahideen. And I said no. They are the people who provide ammunition. But they are the people who provide information.
Okay, Ubeid, talking about the provinces that you've been to, Faryab in Saripol or Jowzjan, we are talking about the capacity of Afghan forces to face this challenge. How secure you felt when you were there in the areas which supposedly controlled by the government?
In Faryab province, when I was there in 2012 and then 2013 and 14, it was very difficult actually from few directions. Like first, when you get to Faryab through Jowzjan province, there is a big area called Jangal. It's a part of Dawlat district of Faryab province. The Taliban often appeared on a highway. They established illegal checkpoints, searching the vehicles and searching for the government employees. And also in Maimana itself, it was so hard to get like 3 kilometers out of Maimana city itself. So it was very difficult, not only for me, but also for the government officials, to stay in Faryab and also to travel from Faryab to other districts and also towards Mazar province. Still, the situation is the same. It even got worse in Faryab province because many districts are now more under, like the Taliban influence expanded in many districts, and they are even very much close to Maimana city itself. So it becomes more difficult in Faryab province. And also in Saripol is the same. There's a big area called Sheramha. It's only 2 to 3 kilometers away from Saripol center itself. That area entirely controlled by the Taliban. They pose threat to Saripol city itself directly from this wide area. And also the highway situation in Saripol, like once you want to get from Jowzjan province to Saripol, you do not feel secure to drive over this highway because of the Taliban presence, because of the illegal checkpoints by the Taliban, searching, asking, and taking, and kidnapping. Even in some districts of Saripul province, for instance, in Balkhab district, many people from Balkhab district, they go all the way to Samangan district, and then from Samangan they go to Juzjan, and then from Juzjan they come back to Saripul. So it's very difficult to go around the districts through the highway, and also in provincial center itself, in Maimana, in Saripul.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ubit, and thank you, Governor Safi and Bruce. So we will take a short break here. When we will come back, we will discuss how does the changing security situation in northern Afghanistan relates to Central Asia in Beyond. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Majlis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Today we are discussing deteriorating security situation in northern Afghanistan and what does it mean to Central Asia. Discussing the subject with me is Governor Omar Safi. He's a former governor of Kunduz province. Obaid Ali, northern Afghanistan researcher at the Afghanistan's Analysis Network. Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlak Awazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I, Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Majlis again. Governor Safi, Afghan officials formerly, including you, occasionally have spoken about presence of Central Asian militants in northern Afghanistan, and you repeated that just in the first half of the show. How big is that presence? What number of people are we talking about, even if we limit this figure into the province you governed at some point of your life?
Well, I believe this will be difficult to say the exact number, but the report we were receiving at that time was around 100 to 150, but the number, I think, is not important. The people, the Uzbek and the Tajik and the Uyghur from Chinese and several Chechenis and some other national who were existed with the Taliban were very effective because they were highly trained. They were providing the technical training for the insurgent, and they were providing helping them in planning and also helping them financially on some heavy transaction and how easily they could help, and the I think mostly this group that were with the Taliban in the north are more the people who established contacts and planning to recruit more people in the Central Asian countries. Like you might have heard that we have arrested a couple of Tajik guys that we recently come because their people had contacted them, and through their contact in Kunduz, they managed to bring these people to the Afghan side and then train them and keep them with themselves.
So they crossed Mr. Governor, they crossed the border from Tajikistan to Afghanistan?
Exactly. They came to Afghanistan and they joined with their friends, with their Tajik colleagues. So I believe the existence of such people in a very close proximity is more danger than being them in Pakistan or any other country. So they could easily communicate, they could easily see each other, they could easily find ways to recruit more people from these places. And I think especially in Badakhshan, if the Taliban get more control and then ISIS also comes to this area, so I think this will be more danger because the border of Badakhshan to Tajikistan is more vulnerable than the border of Kunduz and Mazar or Turkmenistan. So in the second step could be Turkmenistan as well, because it's also a very wide border. the rest, Balkh might be safe because Balkh has a very, the Amur River consists the border, and they have a very good patrol of the military from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But in the first priority, I think Badakhshan will be more vulnerable.
Right. Gora Sahabi, what is the size of this cross-border activity that you mentioned between Central Asia and the Afghan militants?
At this moment in Pakhar, in Faryab, and also in Badakhshan, there are some reports that there are people there crossing, and under the name of sheepers or farmers or something like that, and they go, see their friends and communicate this way from these two provinces. But the most important is, the Taliban are somehow, they have, established their contact with the Russian, and they might not allow some of the violent, freedom fighter of Uzbekistan or Tajikistan to harm this apparently, but if ISIS come, I think they may create this problem, and the effect will be severe. Mm-hmm. So I think the Russian also knows this situation. That's why they have established their contacts with the Taliban, and they know that they could easily infiltrate, and maybe the first agreement might be that to not allow the Chechens, Uzbek, and Tajik Mujahideen to these territories.
Right. Obeid, we were mostly talking about the Badakhshan and Kunduz, the provinces which has border with Tajikistan, and the area that you have been to, like provinces which has border with Turkmenistan, it's a bigger border compared to Tajikistan. What role the foreign militants were playing in those provinces when you were there, or according to your information? And what's their size?
In Faryab province, it's very difficult to say there are IMU or the IJU, Islamic Jihadist Union. There are some reports about the very limited of the foreign fighters in Faryab province. But these foreign fighters are somehow part of the IJU, I believe, Islamic Jihadist Union. And also, Faryab is very much different compared to Kunduz and Badakhshan provinces because of the tight security situation alongside the Afghan-Turkmenistan border made it so difficult for the foreign insurgents to cross the border and get to Faryab provinces. And those foreign fighters, those limited foreign fighters in Faryab provinces are somehow came from northeast part of the country, the Faryab province. But also one thing should be very clear, because of the big presence of the Emirate fighters in Faryab province, it made it very difficult for the Central Asian fighters to sustain in Faryab province.
What you said Emirate fighters, what's that?
I mean Taliban.
Ah, okay.
So this made it very difficult for the Central Asian fighters to survive in Faryab province, because Central Asian fighters these days somehow they support or they pledge allegiance to IS. So considering these flexibility of Central Asian fighters towards IS, it made it very difficult and or we can say impossible for them to survive in those areas where we have big number or big presence of the Taliban in such areas. But in I want to mention a few things about Kunduz as well, if it's possible. Is that
right?
Okay?
Yeah, sure. Go on.
In Kunduz province, as I've been researching from very long ago, there is the situation is the same. We had some Central Asian fighters in Kunduz province. But after 2015, when the Taliban had a big clash with Jundullah and also with those who were not part of Taliban. They fought alongside the Taliban, but from different front. So that also made it very difficult for the Central Asian to sustain in Kunduz province. If you remember, there was a big clash between Jundullah and Taliban in Kunduz province, and many of the Jundullah fighters who somehow hosted the Central Asian fighters there in Kunduz, they fled to Ishkamish district of Tahar province and to Burka district of Baghlan province. And then later on, they made their way all the way to Nangarhar province. So it means we have very limited Central Asian fighters, even in Kunduz province and also in Badakhshan province. If they are some, they are those who somehow support the Taliban or fight alongside the Taliban.
Bruce, situation is this in just across the border in northern Afghanistan. But when you look into some of the Central Asian countries, especially Turkmenistan, take an example, that they even don't like to talk about the border. What is this contradiction?
Well, it's certainly in Turkmenistan's case, they don't want, they're a neutral country, that's their state policy, so they don't want to give anyone the idea that they would need any outside help to keep their border safe and secure. They've been doing that for a while. Things changed a little bit last week, as you know, when the Russian defense minister right. showed up. But you know, across Central Asia, the governments are worried that they're, rightly so, that they're not extremely popular with the people that they govern, and they don't want to talk too much about the problems in northern Afghanistan, because I think they're afraid that it would almost be like advertising an alternative for people who are unsatisfied in their country. We've already heard that, you know, there are some people who have crossed from Tajikistan into Afghanistan to join up with militant groups. Now, if like the Uzbek government, for example, would say that we're concerned about the fighting going on in northern Afghanistan, and we're even more concerned by the fact that among the fighters are people from Central Asia, there might be some people in Uzbekistan who would hear that and interpret that as or think that maybe that's where their future is lies better, is that they could cross the border with no hope of change in their own country or getting their own government to change. Maybe they're better off going to Afghanistan and joining some of these militant groups with the thought that one day in the future they could return and overthrow the government, which of course was always the goal of the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, was to come back and topple Karimov one day. So I'm not surprised that the governments don't talk too much about it, because they don't want their people to know that there is a problem in northern Afghanistan. Especially worried that some of their people might be willing to join with some of these groups in northern Afghanistan and one day return to Central Asia.
These Central Asian leaders might not want to discuss this issue for various reasons that they have. But it looks like recently, by the visit of Russian Defense Minister to Turkmenistan, where he was insisting for Turkmenistan to get Russian help about the border, and then you had this week, visit by the top U.S. general to Tajikistan in Uzbekistan, and it seems that they are concerned, or level of their concern is increasing about the border.
Yeah, of course, this is a good point, because while the governments might not want to tell their own people there's a problem, they're certainly aware that there is. And that's why we have, the Russian defense minister visiting Turkmenistan last week and seemingly convincing the Turkmen government that they needed to accept more Russian military help to keep their border secure. And then this week, as you pointed out, the commander of the U.S. Army's Central Command, General Joseph Votel, was in Uzbekistan yesterday and in Tajikistan today. There are concerns on the part of the government. They don't want to express that too much to their own people, but certainly they've reached out to countries further abroad, or these countries are reaching out to them to tell them that they do need help with border security and that they're willing to provide some means of help.
Right. Governor Safi, you mentioned that you had some level of connection with the Tajik authorities when you were governor of Kunduz province. So based on your conversation with them, do they read the situation correctly?
Yes, of course. The Tajik had a consulate in Badakhshan and Kunduz, so they had a monthly meeting of the border, and we had a quarterly meeting of the governor of Kunduz and governor of Khatlan, just to discuss the cross-border activity and the security situation and in the neighbor, and along the border. So they were trying a lot, and they had a lot of people, contacts in the Afghan side, that they were sharing information and updating them on the situation. And also they have the Tajik side. When I was governor of Kunduz, were reviewed all their security forces, and they have renewed most of their equipment, weapons, and so and so. And the Russian has also had reinforcement and also a completely change of their equipment and renewal of all these, CCTV surveillance system and so and so. I think there are continuous discussion and continuous concern on the border for the both powerful countries like Russian and Americans. So apart from the political situation, they are also really worried about the borders, in the Central Asian countries. However, Russian has several times said that the ongoing conflict in northern Afghanistan looks like to be supported by some of the countries to destabilize security situation or deteriorate security situation in the Central Asian countries. I don't know how much that is true, but there are some political, aspects to this this current crisis as well.
Right. Obid, we are wrapping up our discussion. The final notes from you. You've been on the ground next to the Turkmen border. Turkmen leaders doesn't want to talk about the border, but on the ground, have you seen any measures that they are taking, considering the volatile situation just across the border?
I have noticed from long ago that the security around the border was tight enough, and we somehow made it very difficult for the Central Asian insurgents to cross the border. But also from this side, because of the wider presence of the Taliban around the Turkmenistan borders, like in Almor district, Shirin Tagov district, and also Daulat Abad district of Faryab province. So this also made it somehow difficult for those Central Asian fighters who somehow have sympathy to the IS to cross the border, because there is no room, there is no space for them to stay in Faryab or to stay in Faryab for a short while and then cross to get to Nangarhar provinces. So from both sides, there are some activities, and there are some elements, some factors that somehow prevent these people to cross the Turkmenistan border. But to be honest and to say, like, the government level made some sufficient plan or strategy to prevent this. I haven't noticed any from the Afghan government side, I'm afraid.
Right. Bruce, final note. After the visit by the Russian defense minister last week, discussion about the possibility of Russian help, do you see any changes coming up in coming days in Turkmenistan's strategy about the border?
Well, one thing, we're not going to know exactly what the level of Russian engagement is going to be because of the nature of the topic. But there is one thing that it does change a little bit. As I mentioned at the start in my first comments, that Turkmenistan relies a lot on its policy of neutrality. I think, and they did have friendly enough ties with the Taliban in the late 1990s, but I imagine now that they've probably been alerted to the fact the Russian defense minister visited there and he wanted to tighten the border, it'll be a lot harder for the Turkmen government to engage with the Taliban now, because the Taliban is likely to see them as hostile and taking orders from Moscow.
Right. Thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Kishlak Awazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Also, big thanks goes to Governor Omar Safi, former governor of Northern Afghan province of Kunduz, Obaid Ali, a Northern Afghanistan researcher with the Kabul-based Afghanistan Analyst Network. Thank you, gentlemen, for being part of the Majlis today.
Thank you.
This is from me, Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Bye-bye.